Well, good morning, church. Good morning. Hey, before we get started this morning and into the Bible study, we've got a team leaving here. In other words, put up the picture. One's missing, so we have a picture there of the whole team, and they're going over to the Philippines. So, yeah. And so they're leaving tomorrow night at 11 out of LAX, and so we're going to pray for them. They'll be gone for 2 weeks, and they're just going over there to strengthen and minister to the church and then to do outreach. And so you guys are a part of this, and so we want to spend some time this morning praying for them and then keep them in prayer for the next couple of weeks. It'd be great if you would be mindful to keep praying for them, because we know that the church marches on its knees. And so let's pray together for them right now. Lord, we thank you for this time to be able to gather, and Lord, for the opportunity that we have as a church to be involved in, Lord, reaching out and ministering in other places in the world. And we thank you for this door that you've opened in the Philippines for us, Lord. And I pray now for each one of these team members here that are going, Lord, I pray for your hand upon them, that you would begin preparing them, Lord, that you would give them wisdom and discernment, that you would give them clarity, Lord, and guide and direct them, that they might, Lord, be used powerfully to encourage those believers, Lord, the church, and to reach out, Lord, to this nation and the particular area, Lord, in which you are sending them. Father, we pray that you'd begin to prepare the hearts of the people, Lord, there in the Philippines, who they will encounter, Lord. And Lord, that there might be that connection, and God, that there might be that sense of just your love and your spirit leading and guiding that only you can do, Lord. And so we commit that to you. I pray, Lord, for the family members that they are leaving, Lord, that you would be with them, Lord, as they stay by the stuff, if you would, as those did with David, Lord. I pray that you would just bless these families as they sacrifice as well, sharing and sending out their loved ones, Lord, to further your kingdom. So, Lord, just wrap your arms around them, Lord, and carry them there safely and use them powerfully, and then bring them back and reunite them with their families and with the church body here, Lord. And we look forward to hearing of the wonderful works, the mighty things that you're going to do through them as you work in them. So bless them now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. God bless you guys. Thanks. Well, listen, let's get out our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 20. And listen, I was blessed so much by the marriage and family study. I hope you were as well. And I am glad to be back, though, because I'm chomping at the bit. You know, when I don't get a chance to teach, I go crazy. And so fortunately, I had Wednesdays to pacify me, and I was pretty busy anyhow. But listen, what's coming up today, because of the ministry fair, I'm going to do a topical message, not an expositional message. So you'll get an idea of what a topical message is. You read a text, and then you kind of launch into biblical principles. I don't typically teach like that, because I like to teach expositionally, verse by verse, scripture by scripture. But every once in a while, a topic is important and it merits our time. And I'm not ever saying that's wrong. It's just the discipline to teach through the Bible, I think, is always a good thing for you and for me as well. But I'm going to start a series after I get done, because the holidays are coming up, and so I don't want to start through the book. So I'll be starting through a book in January. You ready? Preview of coming attractions. We're going to start through the book of Revelation in January. And so just let you know that right after New Year's, we'll start that. And then before, though, I start that, I'm going to do a series on Elijah here over the next several weeks, in a series called It's Time to Decide. And we are living in a time where Christians, we've got to pull out all the stops and go for it. And we're going to look at this guy who came on the scene by the name of Elijah. And this guy, a man, and it's hard for us to believe, because if you know Elijah, if you know the history, you know that this guy was a powerful prophet of God. I mean, he was no slouch. He could call down fire. That's something that that's impressive. I don't know about you, but that impresses me. When he walks in before the king, like walking in before the president of the United States, and says, "Hey, guess what, king? If you don't repent, man, it's not going to rain except by my word, and I'm going to say it's going to quit raining, and then when I get ready, I'm going to say it's going to rain again. And so just letting you know that God has sent me with a message for you, and we'll hear what that message is." But this guy, powerfully used by God. And yet, we find in James, as we will see next time together, not unlike you and me. In fact, James tells us he was a man of like passions like you and I. That's hard for us to believe, because sometimes we see Moses and these Old Testament prophets and we see them as supermen. We don't look at them, superwomen. We don't look at them as we look at ourselves. Listen, God wants to use you. And yeah, it's not easy serving the Lord. And Elijah, as we will see, he certainly had his struggles. He certainly had his questions. There were times where, you know, he's going, "God, what happened?" You know, there was a time where he got into pretty deep depression. In fact, he became suicidal, and God had to minister to him. And so we'll take a look at this guy and see really how it is that God used him, and how it is that God can use and work in and through you as well. But today we're going to look at serving. And because of the ministry fair and the opportunities, what the ministry fair does is it gives you an opportunity to see all that God's doing here through the ministry. Sometimes you sit in the pews on Sunday morning, and you may come on Wednesday night in the various studies, but you don't know of all the ministry opportunities and all that God is doing through the church. And so I want to encourage you to step up. And so we're going to look at serving, and I want you to see the opportunities and where your prayers and where your support and just how God is working in and through the different ministries here that are available to you through this body of believers. God is doing great things here, and I'm looking forward to even greater things. But today we're going to look at serving. We are saved, precious saints, to serve. Did you know that? God, if we weren't saved to serve, then as soon as you prayed the prayer to ask Christ into your life, guess what? God would take us to heaven. But he hasn't. And the reason, he's got a plan and a purpose for us presently for our blessing and his glory. And so that's what we are going to look at this morning in our time together. Matthew chapter 20. And let's pray before we begin our Bible study. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this place. I thank you for these precious, precious people that you by your Spirit have brought here today. And Lord, you've designed a desire to speak to them. And Lord, as we have spent time giving expression to our gratitude and appreciation for all you've done for us, Lord, in lifting your name up and giving you praise and offering that sacrifice of our lips. Now, I pray, Lord, that as we continue to worship, that you would speak to us through your word. Lord, that we might grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then that we might go as a result of that into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples, Lord. As your servants, Lord, you've kept us here because you have a plan for us here. You have a purpose for us here. You have useful things for us to be involved in and do as we look for your coming. So I pray today that you would bring greater clarity and understanding to us, Lord, about what it means to serve you, Lord, and to glorify you as we step out in ministry. So, Lord, speak to us today. And Lord, I pray if there's any here that don't know you, Lord, that you might draw them to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 20. We will begin looking at our text in verse 25. Here's a little background. Jesus is about to go to the cross. The disciples are thinking that what Jesus is about to do is set up his kingdom on earth. And so a couple of the disciples, and it's a little embarrassing to me as we consider this. I mean, these men are grown men, okay? They're fishermen. They work. They're probably at least in their 20s and maybe older. You see, and two of these men are bickering about who's going to when Jesus sets up his kingdom, and they thought it was going to be right then. Who's going to sit on his right hand and sit on his left? And so a couple of these guys call their mother. They text her and say, "Mom, we need a favor." "Sure, honey. What do you need?" "We need you as brothers, the two of us, need you to go talk to Jesus for us. Talk to the boss and see if you can get us a position." What? I mean, two grown men sending their mom? Oh, can we relate? Can't we relate? I mean, come on, man. We look at these guys and we think they're way up here. Listen, God used them greatly, but they didn't have such a great beginning sending mom. When's the last time you sent mom to call your boss and tell him that you need a promotion or a raise? Hopefully none of you have done that. But if you have, be encouraged. There's hope that you outgrow that someday. But that's what happens here. So mom comes to Jesus, and she says, "Hey, give to my sons one to sit on your right hand and one to sit on your left when you establish your kingdom." And Jesus informed her, rebuking them because they were standing behind mom. I wonder what the rest of the disciples were thinking when the two brothers' mom came. I wonder what's the deal, dudes? I mean, they're not happy. Jesus he definitely rebukes them, and he says, "Listen, it's not mine to give sit on the right hand or the left hand by way of position. It belongs to my Father, and you don't even understand what you're asking for. Are you going to be able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink?" And of course, like crazy men, they say, "Of course we can." "Okay, well, then you will. You're going to die a brutal death." And they did. But after that takes place, that's where we find ourselves here. Jesus calls all the disciples, and they're not happy, the 10 with the 2 that have pulled this off. And so they're still bickering with one another and arguing with one another. And you know what? That's what the enemy always tries to do with us, get us divided up in our homes and bickering and competing and pushing ourselves up, and trying to get recognition. There's always that kind of that pride in our sinful nature that will ruin the beauty and the harmony of our homes, of the church family. You see, Jesus, recognizing this, he calls the disciples to himself. He says, "Boys, sit down. Come here, sit down." Like a dad talking to his boys. And then he says this to them: "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them." What Jesus is saying here, the Gentiles, another word for the non-believers, for people who were not Christians, for people who weren't furthering the kingdom of God or interested in spiritual things. You see, the non-Christian, the way it rolls in the world is, well, you know what the goal is to get the promotion, to move into the position, to climb the ladder. And the way you estimate success is how many people you are in authority over and have under you that are serving you and doing things for you. That's what it's all about. Climb the ladder, man. Get higher, get higher, get higher. That's the way they do. He says, yet it shall not be so among you. Men, moms asking for positions. You guys are talking about positions and you're jockeying for positions. That is not what the kingdom of God is all about. It's not about that. It says here, he goes on, he says, but here's what it's about, guys. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. And then he uses himself as an example. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The kingdom of God. You see, what we're about is completely different than the ways of the world. In fact, Jesus is saying, if you want a life that is satisfying, that is fulfilling, that is impacting, that is lasting, and will outlive you, you see, if you want life eternally, then guess what? It's serving. That's what it's all about. The authority that Jesus had to call down angels. The authority that he had to stop the wind and the waves from blowing. The authority he had to raise a dead man. Powerfully demonstrated. What did he do? How to use that authority? Not to order people around, but he got down and he showed them how to live and reach out and serve and to care for others, you see. That's what it's all about. And we as the church, just as Jesus is telling these disciples, so he tells us, we are here, you see, to take the place, if you would, to be those who represent Jesus. We are the body of Christ. And when people see us, they are to see Jesus. He did not come to be served, but to serve. That's got to be our attitude. That's not normal. That's not something that we just come by and naturally, you see, to have that attitude of putting others first. To serve. And not only to serve, sometimes we serve, but conveniently or to get something for ourselves, we'll serve another. Jesus is saying, no, I want you to serve in an attitude and in a way as I did, nothing for himself, everything for the glory of God to please his Father and to show God's love to one another. You see, that's what it's all about. You know, there was a time in the life of these disciples. There was a time in the life of Peter where he said to Jesus in Matthew 19, just a few chapters over, you see, in verse 27, he said to Jesus, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we get? That's kind of the attitude that can creep into our lives. That's the attitude we're born with. That's the attitude that even in the church, sadly and tragically, some have, you see. Well, if I sign up for this, if I serve in this area, what do I get out of it? Do I get recognition? Do I get a position? You see, Jesus said that's not what it's all about. Peter came to the place where he moved beyond eventually selfishness, the what will I get attitude out of this service. He moved to that place where he says, what I have, I'll give to you. You remember when he and John were at the gate called Beautiful, cruising by, and there was a beggar there, a lame man who said, give me alms, give me money. He was looking for money and he asked Peter directly, and Peter, seeing him, said, silver or gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he reached out and he grabbed him and lifted the man. And immediately he was healed miraculously. And he went away walking and leaping and praising God. But Peter had crossed over from that place in Matthew 19. Where he said, we have left all to follow you. Therefore, what shall we have? He says, silver and gold I don't have. You see, he had grown. But what I do have, I will give. In the name of Jesus Christ. The human needs in our world today are indescribable and innumerable. And if you have a tender heart, almost unbearable. I don't know about you recently, but I'm looking and I watch the news because I believe I need to know what's going on. But it's with greater difficulty that I watch it because you look and you see what's going on recently. And the needs humanly in Puerto Rico. Now we got the fires up in Northern California. We got those people who were shot by the shooter in Las Vegas. We've got the situation in Houston. We've got the wacko guy in North Korea who is out to blow us up. And we look around and you go, God, there's so much need out there. I mean, it's hard to watch. And I sit there, I don't know if you do, but I can just tend to turn it off or go, oh well, there's so much, but what can I do? Listen, you and I can't do everything, but we can do something. We can begin by praying, and in praying, hopefully, God speaking will lead us to some action, some ministry, to take advantage of some opportunity we have to reach out to a people, to help them, to minister to their needs. You know, there are times where in my life as a Christian, I've seen a need. I reached out. And when I reached out, guess what? I got hurt. You ever had that happen? Reached out to somebody, started going the extra mile, started helping somebody out, and all of a sudden, bam! They were just messing you around and just spinning a lie. And you know, you tend to, just like when you watch the TV and see all these, you tend over time, if you're not careful, to develop a hardness towards people. And just go, oh, well. Because there's times where when you reach out to people, you're going to get hurt. That's just the reality. That's why we need something that we don't possess in and of ourselves. Something given by the Holy Spirit to us. Something we can't muster up in our own energy. In fact, the thing that we need is called the fruit of the Spirit. You know what the fruit of the Spirit is? How many know? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Love. You see, if the motivation for our serving is anything less than God's love, His love for us, the reason that we do what we do, that we reach out to people, is not to get recognition or something from them. We do so because God has reached out to us, you see. He's given us His love. If we don't do it out of love, if we don't minister, if we don't serve out of love, we will not really effectively meet the needs, and we will not glorify God. It's love that caused Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, we read in Matthew 9:36, he was moved with compassion for them. I watch the television. I see things that are going on. And I have compassion. God, man, help them. What can I do? Is there anything I can do to help them other than pray for them? To just pray and care and try to enter into how they feel. That's what compassion is. Trying to feel the way they would feel if you were in that situation. What would it be like today if you went home, if you left here, and when you got home, your house was completely burned to the ground? How would you feel? You ever try to put yourself in what those people in Northern California are going through? How about if a loved one of yours was shot in the Vegas thing and died? How would you feel? You see, we tend to watch stuff, but we don't really go past the viewing. We need to move into God. Let me feel the burden. Let me feel how they would feel. And at the very least, guess what that does? It helps you pray more effectively. You see, the love of God is what drives us. It compels us, 2 Corinthians 5:14 says. We are to be channels through which God can demonstrate His love. Not passively, but actively. God wants to work not in spite of us or instead of us, but in and through us. He is at work, and we are to be those who share His divine resources with others. He wants to bless not only others through us, but us as we reach out to them. Serving, contrary to the attitude of the world, serving God isn't punishment, it is nourishment. Write that down. Serving God is not punishment, it is nourishment. You want to be nourished spiritually. You want to be full spiritually. You want to be satisfied, you see. Then I need to be involved in serving in some capacity. Jesus said to the disciples when He ministered to the woman at the well and they went to get lunch, they came back with lunch and, Lord, here, we got you some food. He goes, listen, guys, John 4:34, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. In other words, guys, I'm not hungry. I just talked to a woman who was living with a guy who had a messed up life and was looking for love. And I shared the love of God with her, you see. And she left here a changed woman. That's what it's all about, saints. Serving God means working with people. And guess what? Whenever you're serving God and working with people, people you're going to find have problems. Got any problems today that you came in with? People have problems. It's just par for the course. Sometimes people can be problems because of the way they deal with their problems. There are some people that you reach out to, and the closer you get to them, the more they hurt you. You ever been in that place? You know, you pour yourself into somebody, you pour your time and your effort and your energy into ministering to somebody, and they hurt you deeply. Why? How? Well, some people are blind to their real needs, and you're trying to help them with that, but they constantly want to go around and make an excuse and go on a detour. Other people choose to ignore their needs, and they always want to blame somebody else other people who have learned to exploit their needs. They do so in order to get what they want from other people. There are people like that. You ever had somebody like that? You're trying to help them. You're trying to counsel them. They say, I got a problem. So you go, okay. And they ask you, so what would the Lord have me do? So you go ahead and you check it out and you take them through the word, man, give them scripture. And you go, so, man, what do you think? And they go, well, that's great. And I believe that, but. And then they present another problem. And so you go into the Word. You help them deal with that. You get real clear about what God would want them to do in that situation. So you understand, praise the Lord. And I get that. But what if, and you know what? I've talked to people. And I've been going, what? Every time. In fact, I've actually said this. Every time I tell you a solution to a problem, you create another problem. Is that your goal? And there are people like that. They can't afford to solve their problems because their whole lifestyle is built on their problems. And they're hard to help. And sometimes you can get frustrated and sometimes you can get bitter and upset and you see that person at church after you poured the time in and they've kind of rejected you and kind of turned away from you and didn't like what you had to say and always presented one problem with another and you just go, I don't want to talk to them or see them. And you try to avoid them, hide from them. I know probably, I've never done that, of course, no. But I'm talking about you. No, I have done that, actually. To my shame. Here's how God's helped me with that. We need to keep in mind that we are loving channels of the grace of God. Someone has said, justice speaks out the merits of the case, but pity only regards the need. And we are servants of God. Don't deserve His grace any more than the ones we're serving deserve it. And so we can set no limit. Because you know what I'm reminded of? Whenever I grow impatient with somebody and get a little frustrated and I don't want to see them, God reminds me, hey, guess what, dude? You were in those shoes and you still struggle sometimes. And have I thrown you away? Have I avoided you? No, Lord, you haven't. Amazing grace, God. Why do you put up with me? And Lord, you know what? I can at least extend that to them because you love me. I need to love them. Not with my love, because my love has limits. But guess what, saints? God's love has no limits. Amen. That doesn't mean that it's blind. Okay, there's a time. Paul prayed for the believers in Philippi. And in his prayer, he prayed this in Philippians 1:9, that your love would abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. In love, and we need to love, we also need knowledge and discernment. I think of Jesus as an example who loved the rich young ruler. No question about that. And he reached out to him. And he says, what must I do, the rich young ruler said, to have eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know the commandments. He says, I've kept them all from my youth. He says, okay, then I want you to sell all you have and follow me. And guess what? He didn't do that. You see, he told him the truth. Listen, there's some requirements if you're going to follow me. It's not going to be easy. Love does not compromise truth. It's not enough to merely or simply love people that are going through difficulty. It's not enough simply to love them in order to help them. We must also love the truth of God that He has given to us. We must tell them the truth. We must speak that truth in love. Psalm 119, verse 97 says, oh, how I love all you've revealed. I reverently ponder it all day long. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, he will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. The enemy using evil to deceive people, to pull the truth away from them. Love alone will not save them. We must again speak the truth in love, and they will not contradict one another. You say, well, Pastor, that's a hard thing to do. I say that's an impossible thing to do apart from the power of God's Holy Spirit. Listen, God, when he talks about the kind of love that we are to have for others, that love that motivates us to serve his love is not something that you and I work up in our own strength. He offers to create it within us when we need it. When you've reached the end of yourself and say, God, sometimes we say, God, get rid of this person out of my life. God, change this situation. You see, that's something where we need to recognize that perhaps the very reason that person's in your life is to bring you to the place where you say, God, I need to love the way you love. I can't do this agape love. And we hear the answer to that prayer in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, where it says, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And of course, the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the love that you and I need for ministry. It's not something that we can muster up. It's not a natural ability. It is a supernatural quality that only God can provide, you see. When people that we serve irritate us or disappoint us, many times the first thing we do is pray for them. And I've been guilty of this. God, you need to change them. Maybe it's been your husband or your wife or one of your children. Have you ever had God say, no? No, no, no. The person that needs to change that I'm working on is you, not them. I brought them to help you out. Because you're lacking love. You're lacking compassion. And guess what? You think you can do it in your own effort and energy, and you've come to the end of yourself, and you're in a great place. Why? Because, God, if you don't do this, if you don't help me, whether it's love, whether it's worry, whatever it is, I've come to the end of myself. God, fill me afresh with the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. Only He can make you adequate. Only He can make you sufficient for any ministry challenge that God brings you. The fact is that God often allows the problem people to come into your life so that you'll depend more on His power and not your own. And listen, we need to understand an important truth about Christian service that for some reason we often overlook or fail to take into account. What is that? God is as concerned about the servant as He is the service. If all God wanted to do, precious saints, was to get work done, He could send angels and they would do it better and faster. But God has decided in His grace and His love to do something through us. But for that to happen, He also wants to do something in us, which is why those difficult people show up. God uses them to encourage us to pray. He sends them to encourage us to trust His Word and depend on His Spirit. What happens is the difficult people are what help us to become more like Christ. Listen, if you got some difficult people in your life, you've got a difficult ministry, you see, that you're dealing with presently, maybe rather than praying, how can I get out of this, or what can I get out of this, we need to pray, God, what are you doing in me through this? You see, sometimes you feel like quitting when things get tough, giving up on somebody when things get tough. That's often the worst thing you can do. Resigning from the church, or, you know, leaving the church, or giving up your Sunday school class, or leaving the committee, or quitting the worship team. And you know what? Sometimes we do that and say, that's it, I'm done. And we run. And God says, oh man, you shouldn't have done that. I've seen people run away from one thing, running right into it in another place. Because you know what? God is at work in your life, and He's going to get it done. And when He's working to refine you and to teach you to trust Him and to bring you into a greater dependency, trying to escape is only going to bring you back. And it's just going to take more time, and God will set up the basic same scene. You ever find yourself going, why do I always go through the same thing? It might be because you're not learning what He wants you to learn. Ask Jonah. You run from God, ask Him what happens. It's not pretty. God doesn't let His servants run away. He is determined that you, as His child, are going to be conformed to the image of His Son. And He will keep working until He accomplishes His purpose. Dr. V. Raymond Edmond, a professor at Wheaton College, said to his students once, it's always too soon to quit. And then he said, remember always to keep your chin up and your knees down. That's good counsel. You'll meet problem people. You meet problem situations wherever you go. So make up your mind to expect them and accept them and let God use them in your life. You see, the enemy wants to use problem people as weapons to tear you down. The Spirit of God wants to use them as tools to build you up and bless you. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There they are standing for the Lord. They're taken and thrown into a fiery furnace. You talk about heating things up. Seven times hotter. The guard that threw them in actually was, burned by the flames. What happened when they were thrown in? You had this problem emperor. They had this problem Pharaoh that says, you guys are dead, man. I'm going to throw you because you won't bow to me. I'm going to throw you into this furnace. And guess what? He did. And what happened while they were in that furnace? They did not experience what normal people experience, you see, because God had His hand on their lives and they stood faithfully for Him. What happened? Well, when they got into the furnace where the soldier had been burned, they were hanging out, and guess who showed us up? Jesus. And He's hanging with them in the flames. He was there before them. And those flames did not destroy them or deter them from their stand for the Lord. What they experienced in that furnace was the power of God that had they not stood, they would never have experienced. Had that situation never happened, they would never experience the power of God that they experienced to be with them in that fire and to keep the flames from harming them. And not only were they cool and collected in the middle of the heat, but that same heat was used. They went in bound. They came out free. that he burned up the ropes. Maybe there's some bondage that you're in that God wants to burn off. So he brings those situations. He brings those heated circumstances. He brings those people into your life, into my life. And we go, Lord, take them out. And God goes, no. No, I got something I want to work out in your life. Some stuff of you that's still in there. And I'm going to use this to help you grow so that you know me and my power more fully, so that you experience, you see, my hand upon your life increasingly, so that I can free you up, so that you can have more opportunity to further my kingdom, to bring me glory, and in the process, to experience life abundantly. Paul wrote and gives us some insight. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Isn't that good to know? Whatever trouble you're going through, God is there to comfort you if you'll simply turn to Him, if you'll simply look to Him, if you'll simply quit relying on yourself and trust Him and give Him praise. As did Job, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He comforts us in all our tribulation, and He has a purpose. What is that purpose? Paul didn't leave us to guess. He goes on to tell us that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You know, when you talk to somebody who's been through something that you've been through, who has faced some difficulty, you can tell. When you say, hey man, I've gone through this health crisis, and you know, and here's what happened, and you began to share with them, and then they began to come back with, and then you felt like this, right? Yeah. And then this, then you thought this, right? Yeah. Then you was wondering why God would allow. Yeah, that's exactly what. Yeah, I've been there. And guess what? I'm here today to tell you I got through it. And God's blessed me. And He sent me to help you so that you, going through this difficulty, you don't ever go through the difficulties alone. I am with you. And I have a plan and a purpose that I'm working in you and through you. Let me do what I want to do, because it's the best thing for you. You know what? The reality is God knows what you need. You think you need certain things, but God knows better. You know that? We don't know what we need. That's why ministry to felt needs, when churches go around and survey, so what's your need, you know? Listen, I had 5 children, okay? And I've got grandchildren now. And I'm telling you right now, those children, those grandchildren, there were times where they go, I need this, and I need that, and I need to do, and I need to watch this movie, I need to do. And you know what? They're whining and complaining, and you as a parent go, they don't know what they need. They think they need all this stuff. What they really need is a nap. That's what they need. You know best. Many times what they need. They think they need things that they don't, and you know really need. Guess what? We've got a loving God, our Heavenly Father, who knows what we need. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And so we're invited to come to Him and to come boldly before His throne to find grace to help, to meet the need. And one of the needs we have is to serve Him. To step up, not to run away. To step out in faith, not to freak out in fear. To do something, it's not faith until you're doing something that you can't do in and of yourself. It's called scary faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that they couldn't calm the fires of that furnace. They were stepping out in scary faith. Do you think they ever go, okay, boys, here we go. You feel the heat yet? No. Okay. We're getting closer. You feel it yet? No. You see, they find God meeting them where they have a need. You need to serve God. I need to serve God. We need to find out what it is that God has us by way of opportunity for ministry. He's got a purpose and plan for you by way of furthering His kingdom and bringing Him glory. And man, there's plenty of opportunity in this church. And you will see, some of you probably have already seen on the way in, the different ministries that are out there. What God is doing in and through this church. And you can step in and get involved. Pray about, look at one of those areas and get involved in serving. You know, the one thing that is a blessing about this church is a good percentage of this church is involved in serving. And that blesses me. But there are some of you who have been kind of standing in the wings and you're missing out on the blessing of God, on the presence and the power of God to do what you can't do as He works in and through you. How about it? There's opportunities out there. Examine them. At least take several of them and commit to pray and say, God, would you have me step up in this area? Would you have me do this? I guarantee you the blessing, oh yeah, the body will be blessed. Yes, the kingdom of God will be furthered. But you know, the greatest blessing will be you experiencing the presence and power and pleasure of God upon you. There's no greater place to be than right in the center of His will. Take advantage of the opportunities. Examine them and see what the Lord would have you do. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You, as always, for the faithful work of Your Holy Spirit in our midst. And now I pray, Lord, that as we Lord, as a church, I'm so thankful for the so many that are involved in ministry that don't just say, I love You, but are stepping out, Lord, and doing and reaching out and showing, Lord, by their acts of service that they love You. And Lord, those acts of service are not to get You to love us because, Lord, You love us regardless. But Lord, the blessings that are available to us are hindered. The peace that is available, the power that is available, the breaking of the chains of sin, Lord, that is available, that binding power of the enemy that is available to be free from that bondage, Lord, is all there for those who are willing to step up and step out and be faithful and serve to further Your kingdom. To bring glory and honor to Your name. I pray, Lord, that You would just lead and guide and direct us as Your children in the area of service where You would have us, Lord. That You might be honored and glorified, and that many will sense and see the love of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray if there's any here today that have not yet given their lives to You, Lord, You love them. You brought them today because You want to have a relationship with them. You want to break the slavery and the chains of sin. You want to give them that peace and that power that only the presence of Your Holy Spirit provides. And that is only given through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to show His love, to take the wrath of a holy God, to bridge the gap that by believing in Him, we who are sinners can come to a holy God and be saved. Lord, I pray that if there's any that have not yet made that step, that You would draw them today to Yourself, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.